All right, seventh inning stretch here, and by that I mean, you know, two. I like to stand the last hour here as we roll into 8 o'clock, right here on the drive.
I will pay for your breakfast if you stand the last hour.
I stood the last hour yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I did. You don't remember?
Not the full hour.
The whole time?
Hey,
no,
let me tell you something. I'm happy. I'm happy to stand the last hour.
Are we all standing now? Is this like a requirement?
Now I feel like if everybody stands.
Standing is my thing. You guys back off.
Then the guest is going to feel like he has to stand, and that's not fair. There we go.
Yeah, have a seat there.
Yeah,
you got all kinds of goodies.
Yes, absolutely. We have a whole layout here, and you are free to pretty much grab.
It's not like when.
It's Mary Lou, right?
Yeah, she was just here. It's not like when Katie stood up in front of Mary Lou and it was like that scene in Back to the Future when Marty trips Biff walking through the cafe. You know what I'm talking about, Dave. And like Biff gets up and stands up and he just kind of keeps growing higher and higher. Was the look on Mary Lou's face when Katie stood up.
Yeah, Mary Lou.
She doesn't run into a lot of women my size. Not. Let's be honest. Nobody runs into a lot of women my size.
That's a good point. We got here right now, 8-time pro bowler. You know him?
You know what? I've corrected that.
Yeah?
Because I played in the league for 16 years.
Okay.
I made the Pro Bowl 8 times.
Okay.
I have now determined that I was also an 8-time Pro Bowl alternate.
Now
they have Pro Bowl alternates. Yeah. I might have been the 10th alternate.
Yes.
So I am now a 16-time Pro Bowler. Decided to.
Well, all you have to do is get on Wikipedia. You can fix that
yourself.
No,
those are the alternate facts.
That's right.
Those are the alternate facts.
That's James Lofton, everybody. You're hearing from right there. James, how are you? How are you enjoying Radio Row here in Houston?
Well, it's interesting. Over to our far right on Sirius Radio, I've been there the last 2 mornings.
Yeah.
And I liken this to a picnic, that the ants are starting to now populate the area a little bit.
Yeah.
On Monday, you know, we hadn't laid out a lot of crumbs, so there were no ants around. But it's starting to grow, and you can feel the energy picking up. The tables are starting to become littered with people.
You know, I've had you on the phone a couple times.
And this is the only radio program I've done standing. I enjoy it, though.
Yeah, you know,
there is more energy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy.
There's a lot of sugar on that table.
You're a wide receiver.
Yes, I was.
Yes, I was.
Breaking news. And in talking to you in the past and seeing your interviews and listening to you in the media.
I know nothing. it just seemed like he was about to say, yeah, but.
This is actually leading in perfectly.
He's never met you before. And he knows where you're going with this.
Because wide receivers tend to have the reputation. They're a little diva-ish.
But you know what?
You're not that way.
Yeah, but you get to throw that on the guys who are divas.
Sure.
And
I'm sitting. I don't care.
I don't know. So let's say we have 32 teams, which we do. And everybody plays 3 wide receivers. So if I'm doing the math correctly, that's 96.
Yes. Yes.
Put your shoes back on. Try to do the math here a long time. You don't have 96 divas.
That's true.
You know, if you have 7 or 8, they really stand out. You know, it's kind of like going to a ballet. There's only one lead dancer, but you appreciate all the dancers.
Sure.
Now, Julio Jones is not a diva at all.
True.
Is Julian Edelman a diva?
No.
No.
Nope.
So, what high school did he go to? San Mateo?
He was Bay Area
Atherton
kid. Tom Brady, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Do you think there's more per capita at wide receiver than
any
other?
I think what happens when you have somebody who does what Antonio Brown did. And just think about it. A year ago, we reveled in the fun that he brought us, in being on Dancing with the Stars you know, the great commercial on ESPN Sports Center. Where, you know, he's talking about, you know, he's working at the reception desk.
Yes.
And so I think when you are challenged by social media as a coach or an organization, you have to be ahead of the curve. You know, you can't just say that there's no tweeting allowed in a certain time frame. Okay, I can't tweet, but I can Facebook Live.
Right.
You know, so I and Bill Belichick is so great with it. You know, I don't have snap face. I don't have my time.
Insta-chat.
Obviously, he knows everything about all of it and has addressed it to his players. And Mike Tomlin, who we think of as this wonderful coach, this great orator, we know that he's covered it. because Mike Tomlin has talked about, you know, don't be that guy. The standard is the standard. When he says something, it's kind of it's ready for print. I remember before the playoffs started, Mike Tomlin said this, and he is William and Mary. I know he's an English major. He said, our players understand the ramifications of single elimination football. And I went, what? What did he just say? I mean, that does he have a writer who's writing this stuff for him?
Yeah.
So for Mike Tomlin to be caught off guard by a player who's Facebook living his post-game speech, come on.
Yeah.
But somebody just told me that Antonio Brown's deal with Facebook is high six figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is happening with a lot of a
why are you sitting
of,
down?
Well, because I don't know, because there's a chair here, I guess, is the best answer. Okay, James Lofton joining us this morning on The Drive. I'm going to kind of transition a little bit. Obviously, 16 years in the league. You played for several organizations.
Yes, I did.
But, sir, you played for the Packers. I am a big Packers fan.
Okay.
I am a big Packers fan. I'm sure my brother is geeking out right now, just even when he finds out that I'm talking to you. But I want to talk to you. I so much hoped that the Packers would obviously be here in Houston.
Sure.
Number of things happened. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers was spectacular, but their defense has so many holes in it, and I feel like their offense has this heroics kind of thing about it, where it carries that defense. And in the offseason, going into next year, I'm talking, what do we need to address? When you look at that team, where are
Band-Aids.
The holes? Yeah, Band-Aids, I know. They're
well,
very
injured. Well, you start at the cornerback position, and Sam Shields was going to be one of your starters, Damaris Randall, Quentin Rollins. Those were your three corners. Mm-hmm. They lost Casey Hayward, who goes to the San Diego Chargers and has a Pro Bowl season. Even made All-Pro on a couple of teams. I put him on my first team as a voter. So you're always looking for those players. They have really good safeties. And Morgan Burnett and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I know the safety coach, Darren Perry, and we talk about safeties. And one of the things he always talks about is getting thumpers back there. Mm-hmm. And you want these guys to be able to cover, but you also want them to be thumpers. And he has some really good safeties. So that's good. But I think within that front seven, you've got to kind of figure it out. Kenny Clark, the first-round pick from UCLA last year, came into the league at 20 years of age. He'll be better next year. They'll probably play him a little more. What do you do with Julius Peppers, who very competent? You look at Nick Perry, who plays with one hand and a huge cast, and I think he had 12 sacks during the regular season. So the elements were there, but the cornerback position, when you're playing with guys who – were struggling to make the practice squad.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. They very much promote from within, and that's worked for them for a long time. But when you look at what Ted Thompson has done in, 12 seasons there, and you've made one Super Bowl, and you've had guys like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Cleveland, yeah. Browns. Come on. Come on. Be thankful for what you
– okay. No, I know, but this is my question. At what point, maybe, do you feel that theory of kind
do
of
you
promoting
– No. Bring in a bunch of free agents and spend all the money not be able to sign Davante Adams? Come on.
I know it's
come
not,
on.
It's not panic, but my question is,
would it be that
kind of theory of just continuing to promote from within and building way?
I think what you have to look at is how is the league structured and what wins games? Offense wins games if you can score points. So if you can protect Aaron Rodgers and you can really have a really good offensive line. And this past year, those guys stayed healthy for the most part. Aaron Rodgers had 40 touchdown passes. I think seven or eight interceptions. I don't know why I can't remember. It's one or the other. So they had a good offense. Eddie Lacy had gotten hurt. They go to Ty Montgomery. He has some really good plays for a guy who has moved from wide receiver to running back. So the elements are there. And I still think I say this time and time again as I'm doing NFL games, and you will appreciate this, that the NFL is a lot like the NBA. If you can get a stop at the end of the first half or a stop in the fourth quarter, if you have a good offense, you're going to win the game. And you might win 28-24, but you got those critical stops. When you think about the game that they lost, that you can't stop somebody at the end of the first half, you can't stop them in the fourth quarter, and you lose the game. That's what happens.
James Lofton's with us on KHTK. Just a second ago, you stood up kind of in front of Ted Thompson. You know, be a panic move to try to make any changes there.
I think it would be.
You think Mike McCarthy catches a fair amount of criticism, though, or the amount of criticism that he gets for having had Aaron Rodgers this long? He's only got one ring with him. Do you think that's a fair shake on him?
I don't know if it's fair. I know when they were 4-6 and nobody envisioned this team of being ready to go to the playoffs, they had a really good team a couple of years ago, and I remember I think it was a Monday night. They were playing the Chicago Bears, and Aaron Rodgers injured his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And you went to backup quarterback, Seneca Wallace, a couple other guys, and the team just looked awful. And for the first time, I think people saw how good Aaron Rodgers was. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen that in subsequent years. And this team is dependent upon Aaron Rodgers, but it's not easy to win a championship. You can look at a lot of other marquee quarterbacks who haven't gotten close. This is Matt Ryan's first chance,
yeah.
And he's had those numbers. You can look at Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford. His trajectory, what he's thrown for in yards, he's faster to that point than any quarterback in history. Now, certainly the game is changing, and the numbers continue mm-hmm. to get inflated, but you look at Phillip Rivers with the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
Think about all the Super Bowls he's won. all the Super Bowls he's watched on television.
Yeah. Right.
So there have been a lot of great players. Now, Aaron Rodgers, special talent. You would think, you know, what if he had won three? What if, you know? And I think that's why when we look at what Tom Brady's been able to do, to play in six so far, mm-hmm. and they've all been one-score games. This is not like the Patriots have played in these games and blown teams out. So it's been close every time they played.
James Lofton will be on the Patriots sideline for Westwood 1.
That should help them, shouldn't it?
they could learn a couple things. Last thing for you. We are in Sacramento, close proximity to Oakland.
I thought you were going to say the capital.
We are
capital.
The home of the Raiders.
The we are the home of the Raiders.
Even though I pelted you with Packers questions.
Yeah.
Hey, just last thing, because I know you got to move on. But with
I don't have to go.
That's
you guys are sending me away?
Said in our
Why
ear.
Are you guys giving me the break signal? What's going on here?
They're telling us, hey, you've had enough time with him. He's too important for you guys.
As a vet and a big part of the league, how are you with all of this movement and relocation? Bother you at all?
I am somebody who really buys into Raider Nation. And living in San Diego, watching the presence of the Raider fans at a San Diego game, you know, I would ache for the people in Oakland, and it would break my heart. But I go over to Las Vegas occasionally to watch some shows or whatever, and I almost think that if you have to start anew, the Raiders, if you can't get the stadium deal worked out with Oakland and with the city, that Vegas Raiders would be a great idea.
Yeah. So. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's James Lofton, everybody. Westwood 1 this Sunday. Patriots sideline, one of the best to ever do it.
Thanks, James.
And
the sideline, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were okay at football too, but you're really
16
good.
16-time Pro Bowler.
16.
Eight-time Pro Bowler. Eight-time Pro Bowl alternate.
Yeah. And I see you've walked into the gym a couple times since you retired too. So that's kind of
these are inflated. It's a small T-shirt.
There's a sign outside that says "No guns allowed." Apparently, James didn't read it. We'll see.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. All right, that's James Lofton joining us as the hits keep coming and coming and coming right here. On the drive, Radio Row in Houston. It's a
kind of chewed you up a couple times, man.
Huh?
James did.
Are you kidding me?
He doesn't care. He hasn't heard anything since Mary Lou left.
Are you kidding me? Listen, James has chewed up quite a few people, and that was just on the playing field. Why would it be any different in real life?
Jeez, look at you.
Running one way, you're running the other. See you later. I'm out of here. Big show still to come. By the way, Steve Mariucci will join us this Friday, I believe. We'll get the details on that.
I was not laughing about that either. I just want to clarify for our listeners that obviously can't see that we just knocked over a big thing of silverware.
And by we, you mean not the three of us.
Not the three of us. But hey, we're a team here,
so
Dave.
So the team knocked over. Now here's a question.
Let's do this. Let's dive in. Roll
so when I went to the store and I got all the stuff, we have a big food set up here, right, for our guests mm-hmm. with candy and mints and muffins and Clif bars. One of the things I got was, you know, plates, napkins, bowls, and a big thing of silverware. Oh, see?
Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
Candy.
Thank you. We're getting candy brought to us right now. Mm. So that the question. Oh, look at that. Beautiful.
Thank you, ma'am.
The question is this. Our producer slash boss just spilled the entire container of plastic silverware on the ground.
So what? No one knows.
Well, here's the thing. So do you pick it up and put it back after it was on the floor?
Did we?
He threw it all away.
Oh, good. Okay.
I want to put it back.
Ugh. I'm just saying I would have.
Well,
I would put it back.
I would have without knowing. Like, without just having thought it through.
Oh.
I would just put it back and be like, I dropped the stuff. Put it back in the cup, put it on the thing.
No, we don't have any silver. I mean, it's a 5-second rule. Who coming up here tomorrow is going to go, I think he dropped the silverware yesterday on the Super Bowl carpet.
It's possible.
Tony Baselli will join us, also another ex-football player, coming up at 8:30. That's in about 12 minutes. So, again, Radio Row will continue all week long from right here in very warm Houston, Texas, by the way. Not hot, comfortable.
It's
just, it's mid-70s.
Mm-hmm. Which sunglasses and jeans. It's kind of covering all of it.
But I didn't bring my sunglasses. I didn't. It's been so, it's been so gray.
That was a bad move by you.
I didn't think about it. Did not even think about it.
So but we have about every kind of canned cheese here, but you don't have sunglasses.
Haven't even opened up the cheese.
Canned cheese.
Yeah, we could have a tray of sunglasses for our guests.
That'd be kind of neat.
While we have a break in between guests, let's update
some
of the stories we're talking about. No, I'm serious. Mary Lou Retton, I don't know what's going to top Mary Lou Retton.
That was pretty funny. I wasn't kidding. I've never heard you first name a guest as often. You just loved saying
Here's the weird
Mary
thing.
Lou?
Like, and this is gonna, I guess this might sound disrespectful to Mary Lou, and obviously I don't mean it this way, but like I flip out at like some of the weirdest.
Right.
Like I don't.
Right. The sports people don't. But I'm the same way. Like
if Tiger Woods came over here, I mean that'd be cool. Or a Tom Brady, that'd be really cool. But for me,
Tom Brady might be one. I mean, yeah, I hate him, but like
close.
I would probably.
The three freakiest out interviews I've done in my entire career. Number one, Bobby Bowden, for obvious reasons, Florida State. Number two, Mary Lou Retton. And this is in no particular order. And number three, Huey Lewis. Now,
you interviewed Huey Lewis?
I interviewed Huey Lewis twice.
I would totally geek out on that.
At the Celebrity Golf Tournament in Monterey. Are you kidding me? The first time I interviewed Huey Lewis 2 years ago, we talked for 90% of the interview about the night of the recording of We Are the World. And I could talk to him all day. I'm like a professor of We Are the World, legitimately know everything about it.
I think the weirdest thing I've ever done in an interview.
I know my mom got me a videotape of the making of We Are the World when I was like whatever it was 8 years old, and it was one of the only tapes I had to watch. So I hosted by Jane Fonda. It's still out there on YouTube.
Oh, Jane,
I wore that sucker out. That's why.
I understand. Like I understand kind of freaking out to a certain degree, but I've never. I don't know. I think of it more because you're a fan. You're a sports fan,
yeah.
So you freak out about there are certain people that are on your list that it's like a big deal. I didn't grow up a sports fan. I didn't pay attention to all this stuff. It didn't matter. And then once I kind of was in the world of athletes and stuff, I'm like, you know what? No big deal. Like it doesn't. I did kind of – it was a very surreal feeling interviewing Alex Rodriguez. That was the only one for me that I've ever – and to be quite honest, it was because when you look at him in person, you get lost in
dreamy
him.
Eyes.
I've actually heard that about Tom Brady,
his
too.
Eyes,
I had a buddy that caddied the the AT&T event or whatever down at Pebble.
Oh,
and he's just like, bro, let me tell you. Tom Brady is unbelievable. He's like, I've never seen anything
like it. At
least
I have an excuse. I'm a woman.
He's like, he's so tall and handsome. And you just can't help but keep staring at
Did
him.
Did you ever watch the show Entourage?
On no. HBO?
Okay.
No,
they're all New York kids, and Turtle is one of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't stand Boston, can't stand Tom Brady. They all go to play golf, and Tom Brady's in the foursome, and Turtle's leading up, and it was either Turtle or Kevin, whoever the hell, not Bacon,
the
Entourage, Vinny's brother.
Right.
One of those two. So they're just determined to hate Tom Brady. They're going to cap him the whole time, and I think he starts off, and the first thing is like, yeah, well, it sucks you lost that game or whatever to my Giants. What's up? What do you have to say to that, Tommy? And Tom Brady's like, well, you know, they played fantastic, and honestly, they deserve that. you know what? I'm just happy I've got a couple myself. But, man, they were amazing. And the whole point of the entire time is like he goes from just telling all his buddies that he's absolutely no. He showed me Kevin. I don't think it was I don't think it was Kevin Connolly. It was either Turtle, it was Jerry Ferrara,
yeah.
Or Kevin. What's his name? So I see what you're saying. Is the not going to bother me? Not Kevin Bacon. The other brothers. The other you know what I'm talking about?
Finish your story.
Yeah, sorry.
And then it'll
come
to you.
I'm going to get lost. So the whole point was they were trying to hate Tom Brady so bad, but then after spending time with him, it's just like
it was impossible.
And I feel like there's a lot
that's
of
that's probably
truth
how
to
it
that.
Is with most athletes that you despise, and it's I don't know. Maybe Grant Napier is the only exception to that rule.
I don't even think Grant could do it.
Grant hates Boston.
He does.
He loves Isaiah Thomas. There's some. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think it's like personality. He hates Boston. He hates the teams.
Kevin Dillon, Matt Dillon's brother.
Oh, there you go.
Damn it.
He worked with the kids in.
Yeah. The
overall thing is that I'm pretty sure anybody that you hate in the sports world as a fan, if you ever spent any time with them, you would probably feel different.
No, well, hey, that's what we talk about, yeah. though, like with access and stuff like that,
yeah.
the way that it can change your perception or at least yeah. your willingness to drag someone underneath the boat mm-hmm. when they need to be called out. That's kind of something that we all have to fight with on a daily basis, especially you, Katie, and Dave to a little bit lesser degree. And I don't have any access to anything and kind of keep it that
you
way.
You keep it that way on
purpose. You're like the show's Deadspin. Snarky, left, yeah. and absolutely no access
Red
or
ass.
Favor whatsoever.
Yeah.
Red ass. I mean, that's fair.
Well, I mean, first off, I think it's important that we have that balance
yeah.
as a group.
I think so, too.
And I mean, it's an easy thing to just say
it's almost
like
someone put us together for a reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense.
No.
But no, it does. It absolutely does. And that's, you know, you meet someone and that's why you see these people fawn over him in press conferences. They just want to see him talk. And I don't know. I mean, we've all been there,
you,
but I'm going to sit here from a distance and hate on the guy because his life is too damn perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I like that you recognize
right,
that because
Nate. You'll get there too.
I don't want to disallow anybody's hatred of Tom Brady, and you're free to hate him all you want, but I do feel like some of that hate is disingenuous in the sense that I think a lot of that hate is just envy. And I'm envious
sure,
of him.
Sure, it's a simple I mean, it just tell me one thing you could hear about Tom Brady that couldn't be met with a perfect reply of F Tom Brady. Like what's
dude,
what story
I don't
would
understand.
You?
Seriously, what did he do? Did he hit your dog? Did he, you know?
He won the genetic lottery.
Aww,
you kind of know when we're talking earlier about a guy who got choked up, talking about saying, you know, it's been a tough year for my family. He was asked who his hero was, and apparently, according to reports, because he wouldn't talk about it, he wouldn't get into it. His parents or one of his parents' mother or something is very sick. And then he just replied, you know, kind of teary-eyed, said, my dad. And there's a big group of people that are like, you know, how long did you rehearse those tears, Tom? But I think
forget
we're
that. You know
so
what?
Damn
if someone
cynical.
Asked me the same thing, I'd have the same answer. And
Tom Brady's dad?
Yeah, Tom Brady's dad. It's very difficult for me, period, to get up and talk about like life things in front of people, let alone for I get teary-eyed just doing that when nothing's wrong. So if something is truly wrong, like, dude, leave him alone. It's all right, Nate. You're cute too. You're adorable.
That's
you just
all
have
I'm
to, you know.
Really doing is fishing for
drink
compliments.
Drink a little bit.
Yeah, hey, ass. Here's the thing. When somebody like me looks at a dummy like you, I think you won the genetic lottery. So let's all calm down.
And on that note, we'll go to break.
Tony Boselli coming up next. We continue from Houston. Our thanks to Jiffy Lube, JiffyLubeCA.com for all your valuable coupons right here on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. 8:35, time to save money at the pump. Text Dave to 83835. That's text Dave, my name, to 83835 now. You save a quarter a gallon off your second fill-up at all participating Shell stations. Dave, Katie, and Nate here for another half an hour. Of course, you got the lowdown noon to 3, and Grant Napier will be doing his show, also live from Radio Row, starting at 3 o'clock. So, big show today. Everything will be up at KHDK.com, where you can also check on the social media at Sports 1140. Got a little montage put together from all of our stuff yesterday. So that'll be up there with all kinds of different pictures and videos and all that as we continue on. We continue on with the coverage from Radio Row. And again, thanks to Jiffy Lube for all the help. Joining us right now, a former offensive tackle who had just quite the wonderful career in the NFL, but most importantly, from Modesto, California, which is just...
I was going to say.
I mean, come on.
Right by you guys.
Right by us. It's Tony Boselli, Tony, Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us.
Hey,
how
guys. Thanks for having me.
What is it? When you played, you were just a mammoth human being. And there's something that it seems like former offensive linemen go one of two ways. They either kind of, you know, everything kind of starts to droop down, or they just shred up. And you've gone the shred up.
Well,
way.
I've actually done both.
Really?
Oh yeah, I got up to 350, and I was things were not working very well.
right.
And then I lost about 80 pounds, and so now I'm I've lost weight much better on the downside than the upside.
I would imagine. But yeah. you were 6'7" something when you played?
6'7", about 325.
Man.
You ever wondered, Nate, how you get past something like – well, obviously you didn't. You didn't.
Never could. Couldn't happen.
Lord.
You were in on the ground floor of the Texans, too, and never really got a chance with them. But, I mean –
shoulder injury. So.
Yeah, but you've seen the way that that's kind of – the way that this franchise has grown a little bit. And I'm wondering about, you know, David Carr and the way that his career went. And do you – I don't know how often you would think about something like that, but do you ever think, like, you know, if I had a chance to get on the field with that team and maybe he would have had a little more protection and his career could have turned out a little differently?
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
You really don't. And it's always a tough situation. You come to a new franchise and it's building and you're a young quarterback, and that's the toughest job in football. Mm-hmm. So David had – it was a tough deal for him here. It didn't work out. But he's a great guy. Obviously, his little brother's doing a pretty dang good job in Oakland. But this is – I'll tell you this. The Houston Tech is a great organization, great ownership. Bob McNair is one of the best owners in the NFL. So it didn't work out for me. My shoulder never got better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, David had some decent years here but never could get over the hump. And so he probably looks back and says it wasn't what he was expecting.
You know, we've talked about it multiple times on the show and throughout the season, especially in regards to, like, the Seahawks, for example. You see the NFL teams now paying so much money, obviously, quarterbacks and certain skill players. But if you really want your team to do well, don't you have to focus primarily on that offensive line? You have to build that up, especially now that the NFL has become, well, and even before as a running league, but such a passing league. Protecting those quarterbacks so important.
Yeah, I think you are. I'd argue after the quarterback. I mean, you have that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady's pretty good. Yeah. Matt Ryan. You look at the two of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. But after that, it's the offensive line. Look at what the Dallas Cowboys have done. I mean, mm-hmm. they've invested all these resources, all these draft picks in that offensive line, and now you put in a good back rookie, but he's a rookie. Ezekiel Elliott. You got Dak Prescott. I mean, you have a foundation that you can do a lot of things on offense if you can protect and run the ball. There's things you can do, mm-hmm. but if you can't, ask Seattle. Look at what Seattle's done. I mean, they have not invested the resources. They have that great defense, but difficult for them to get anything
Colts
going.
Another example, Colts another example.
You have Andrew Luck and nothing else. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to win, I think, if you don't have some guys up front who can block.
You know, and they'll tell you, it's a running theme on our show that offensive line is the most underappreciated, underserved position in all of sports, I think, in all the major sports. And you wonder – if you're a GM and you're starting out building a team, why more just don't go, okay, we're going to start by putting a ton of hogs right up front? Because magically, Tony, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, it seems that quarterbacks look a lot better and running backs look a lot better when they're running in front of a bunch of hogs.
Yeah, when they're upright, it's much easier to play quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at the Raiders up in your guys' in the country. Look how much better they've gotten. Yeah. I mean, that offensive line. Osemele, they got a free agent. Hudson, the center. I mean, two big building blocks. Donald Penn was a free agent a couple years ago. Draft some guys that can play. Now, all of a sudden, Derek Carr is sitting back there with all day.
Yep.
And Murray can run the Latavius Murray running the ball. I think you're right. The quarterback's still the most important position.
Sure.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. But after that, offensively, there's a lot of guys who can run and catch the ball. There's a lot of guys who can run the ball. There's not very many big men who are athletic that can move and play offensive line at a high level. So if you can find those guys, it's a smart way to build.
Tony Boselli with us on KHTK. One of my favorite things in football, like kind of peripherally, is every now and then you see an offensive lineman score a touchdown. And when it's my favorite thing because – when an offensive lineman dances, it's like he's dancing for all of you. Everyone that's ever been an offensive lineman. Did you ever get that?
No, and it's good because I can't dance.
That's the best part about it.
Yeah, like, but I'd have been the guy. I would have looked around, not having any idea what to do, and just tossed the ball to.
Yeah, well, there's something you've been there before.
If I knew I was going to score a touchdown. I'd have had to have a couple drinks before the game. The only way I'm getting on the dance floor is at the wedding after a few drinks and loosen up a little bit. But if it's just, man, there's no way.
Well, it is. I mean, because what's so fascinating is I love the way that the offensive line, more than almost any other position group, that's a group. They're together. Everything that they have to do has to be in lockstep with one another. And so when one of you guys gets the chance – it's like a victory for all the big guys. And
if I'm not even on the team and I'm watching a game, and I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even a part of that group. Yeah. I'm pumped for them. I'm like, I want to start getting, you know, high-fiving
them. Last thing for Westwood One's Tony Baselli. You've had a pretty active career, not just broadcasting, but owning burger franchises and mattresses and a ton of different businesses you've been involved in. Always try to sneak in something, since you're going to be doing a lot of interviews this week, that I hope you don't get asked anywhere else. We want to be original.
Okay.
You going to move to Duval County and run for mayor one of these days in Jacksonville?
No.
No? Because that was the rumor I read.
I'm impressed you didn't know Duval County. I'm going to stay in St. John's County, which is the neighboring county on the beach.
Yes.
And I'll watch the I mean, have you been paying attention to politics lately?
Correct.
Who wants to get involved
mayor.
No,
I don't care.
It's easy to not
from
pay attention.
President to mayor, I want nothing to do with
that. That was the rumor. Is that, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's
the
good
mayor,
information. It's
mayor
good,
was term limited, and you lived in the wrong county, and there were a lot of people that wanted you to run for mayor of Jacksonville.
That's not going
to
happen.
That's how popular Tony Baselli is in freaking Jacksonville.
So what you're saying is that we're lucky that he stopped by.
I'm just saying tomorrow's headline is going to be Tony Baselli. We spoke to Tony Baselli about his possible run for mayor.
Don't be starting those rumors.
Not with a 6'7" like you. Tony, we appreciate your time. That's Westwood One, Tony Baselli.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We will take a break. We'll be right back and finish up the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Coming up tomorrow at 7:30, we'll talk to Tiki Barber.
Hello. Well, hello, sir.
Steve Mariucci will show up on Friday and much, much, much more. You just don't know. As the day progresses, we'll start putting together the booking book for tomorrow. Like today, for example, you know, we knew we were going to have James Lofton on. We knew we were going to have Boomer Esiason and Tony Baselli on. And Mary Loren showed up. Not that that's a big deal or anything.
She smelled so nice, though.
God, she did.
She smelled like
peaches and victory.
Right, and it's not like that creepy scent of a woman thing either. It's just like, oh my gosh, what a wonderful lady.
She smelled like one of those things I want in the little wax burners in my house that makes the whole house, like they need to market retin. Like the scent. Yes. It's a perfect 10 for your house.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Look at you.
I appreciate that.
That's insane.
Let's recap a few things that we've been dealing with all day today in between interviews. When we arrived here in Houston, Nate and I flew on the same plane, and as we were leaving, Nate expressed a little bit of nervousness that the hotel would not take his credit card. Because Nate's a grown-up, but, you know, he's not all the way grown-up, and so I felt bad. We were tired. So I gave Nate my American Express card and said, Nate, if you run into any problems, use this. We'll work it out. Right. I'll just expense it out. I'm trying to be a really nice guy. I was rewarded with that niceness last night when he and our engineer Jason were out at the
meeting. To be fair, Jason was not – he did not partake in the using of your credit card. That was up to Nate.
I thought he drank the use of my
credit.
Well,
he did, but it's not his fault that was Nate's decision. Hey, I'm going to pull Jason out from under this bus.
So while you and I were working, Nate and Jason were at the Media Heidi Ho Jambalaya Fest.
We were researching.
Yes, and Nate decided to buy a couple shots of some sort of scotch, and the total for those two shots is about $50, including tip. So we're dealing with that earlier. That I found out right at the beginning of the show.
This is why he doesn't have a credit card with a high limit.
Very true. And the thing is, and I know that Nate will pay me. I hope that Nate will pay me back. I'm fairly confident of that.
That was the plan. I just needed to pee on your fire hydrant.
I would just say this. Whilst you got some immediate gratification out of that last night. I'll take you back to a time that you and I were on a green at Wood Creek and we were playing holes for dollars, and I think you called me on something that was very, very questionable with money on the line. And you might remember, I don't know how many references I've made to that over the years, but it didn't get old for a long time. I actually haven't made a reference to it in a while, so now I kind of have something new to just I'm just not going to let it go for a while.
Not following what you're saying here.
My point is
I went full-on golf bastard on day one.
And I hold on to things.
We had money on the line.
Oh.
And there's something about my background that makes me very much a guilter.
Are you talking about your mom's background or your dad's background?
Just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's just something in my blood. so there's that. Rumors.
The rules are rules, Dave.
Yeah. Rule number one, when your friend is nice to you and loans you his credit card, we'll freaking charge $20 shots of scotch.
Can I just...
You're holding it hostage. You won't give me back my card.
That's not true. I have it. I'm going to give it back to you. But, I mean...
You're like, oh, I'm going to forget. Can I please have it? No. Well, yeah.
I'm not going to forget that I have your American Express in my wallet. What's in your wallet? Dave's American Express.
One less credit card than my wallet.
God, you're such a big baby, Dave. Let me dig through my diaper bag.
Giving. I mean, what was it? I forget what I helped you out with yesterday, but I know you were short on something, and I helped you. I forget at lunch, whatever the hell. It's like the giving tree. You ever read that poem by Shel Silverstein?
We talked about it the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if I give this to you, will you shut up?
Now she's playing.
If I give this to you, will you shut up?
No chance in hell. My God.
Hey, I was going to keep this simple, you know. I wasn't going to try to hold it hostage or anything like that.
Well, the reason I took it, let's be honest here, is he was trying to find it and was having a hard time. I'm like, give it to me. As soon as he found it, I'm like, we're not losing Dave's credit card.
And I didn't like, okay.
Breaking news, he found it.
That's not exactly how it happened. It's just when I got it back from old barkeep there, I put it in my jean pocket rather than in my wallet. And so then as we were getting up to leave maybe, or I think I was maybe getting my card out to purchase something else, but then I didn't see the Amex, and I'm kind of like, where is it? And Katie's like, give it to me.
Well,
give it to me right now.
It's all in fun, and obviously we spent too much time on it. But just to wrap up, one final question. So is the thought process...
just one final question.
I mean,
question.
Is the thought process, are you going into it as a prank? Is it you're the one dumb enough to leave me a credit card, I'm going to use it?
He just wanted to know what it was like to use an American Express, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't tell without it, I guess.
I mean, it's not like I wasn't saving it
for
the
air. I just wonder what the thought.
I'm gonna help you out a little bit with this, Dave. There was no thought process other than the fact that he started having adult beverages when he got his hair cut at 12:30 yesterday.
But you have your own card, and
I
know I'm gonna find out.
But you know, sometimes
so
when
I'm
you're
like,
a little bit on the sauce,
they're
not so clear.
It's that simple. I just wanted, like I said, I just wanted to pee on your fire hydrant.
Yeah,
that was it.
That's all right. He's going to wipe it off.
The cash is coming. It's no big
deal.
Oh,
I'm not worried about
it's
that.
It's kind of like the story I tell of a couple years ago of our boss that was complaining about when they started putting up netting around the baseball fields. And, you know, hey, how hard is it to just pay attention to the damn game, right? Like, we're kind of having that discussion. And while he's saying that, this is our former boss, by the way. While he's saying that, he's, like, scrolling on his phone. People are so busy doing X, Y, Z, they can't even pay attention to the game. And so,
checking emails.
Like, he's not paying attention to us, but he's saying all this. So I pulled out my can of Copenhagen, whipped it across the room, and tagged him right between the eyes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He did. Is this the same boss when we were on the golf course and there was about a 7-foot dead rat and you took a 9-iron out? And as our old boss,
shot.
Yeah, he was getting ready to – he was on the tee. He was getting ready to start his backswing. And Nate does a slap shot from about 10 feet away of this giant dead rat. And it hits our boss right in the jimmy. Like, pauses, and then drops straight down. Freaked him out so bad, he ran down the fairway and was, like, humping the grass. And we were laughing so hard. Like, I laughed so hard that literally the next day I felt like I'd done a whole act. It's probably the funniest thing I've ever seen in my freaking life.
So, you know, sometimes.
Less funny than my credit card.
Sometimes you just got to leave your mark, and that means being opportunistic. That's all.
Yeah.
Shoot your shot. That's what this guy does. Well, and the look on Dave's face when he was encouraging me to do that, like, he kind of, I'll never forget. Like,
oh,
as
God.
You're standing behind him, and you just kind of, it was almost like the short nod of approval. Like, I'm kind of looking around like, should I do this? And you kind
of
just.
Well, and part of the reason was there's nobody I've worked with in the history of the radio that I hated more than him. There's just no, it's not.
Well,
close.
And me on that day, too. So, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure you were trying to get me fired. But
yeah, well, back then.
Because you were literally 45 minutes before that.
Yeah, what? Trying to get you fired?
Or
yeah, see,
muzzled.
That's how rumors start. Let's just stay with.
Are you rubbing
I guess that's
nipple?
True. Like, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah,
we just had a stupid disagreement on the air.
Dave tried to get Nate fired. No, it sounds like it sounds familiar. He tries to get everybody fired.
just say, our ex-boss was just.
You guys didn't get along. That's cool. We did. That's why I was able to do stuff like that.
I don't know how you. God bless you. But then I don't feel bad because it's nothing he doesn't know. It's not like there was any secret about that. It wasn't a station secret or anything. But, hey, we're all past that and moved on. And that's it. Speaking of moving on, we got to move on up and out. Tiki Barber again. He will join us tomorrow morning at 7:30. Steve Mariucci will join us on Friday from NFL Network, former coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Keep your eye on khdk.com and our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll be
sending
out
socials media.
Yeah, so like attorneys general.
Yes,
we'll be sending out all kinds of stuff, pictures, videos, etc. from right here on Radio Row. So that's it. Matt George back in the studio doing a fantastic job. Thanks, Matt. I know you're manning the whole fort by yourself back there. A lot of plates to spin. You're doing good stuff. Jason Ornelas doing an amazing job engineering and running up my credit card with Nate. Nate Goodyear. Katie Christensen. I'm Carmichael David. Kevin Cheritz is here, too. We will see you wherever Kevin is. I don't even know where Kevin is, but thanks to him as well. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 6 a.m. from Radio Row in Houston, Texas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. Check them out, JiffyLubeCA.com, for all the valuable coupons. They will keep you covered. That's it. See you tomorrow. Sports 1140 KHDK. Bye-bye.